Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, worship team. Let's give them another big hand clap. Yes, the worship team, today, they did what we agreed upon, that they just come natural. Okay, because we wanted to give them a rest. They had worked so hard in the last 4 weeks. That is one of the reasons why we didn't have the prayer meeting on Thursday, because we wanted them to what? To rest. So today they just came and did their thing, and it was wonderful. Glory be to God. Teddy, Albert, every one of you, thank you so much. Probably, Teddy, I think, did well, probably because she decided to buy shoes like pastor's shoes. Okay? Juliana is the one who tipped me that Teddy has shoes like yours. So, yes, God is good. Amen? God has prospered Teddy. Yes. Hallelujah. You're all welcome. Last Sunday was wonderful. Very wonderful. Okay? Very, very wonderful. I was telling someone that day that I don't think the fourth anniversary was as glorious as what we had on Sunday. So I was like, maybe I've just forgotten, the fourth anniversary. Okay? But I was like, no, I think it was more awesome. Hallelujah. And when I saw Asha's dream and message, I was like, this is it. Glory be to God. Amen? Yeah, imagine someone dreamt 19 years ago. Okay? And then, and God was like, when you think about that dream and the implications, you're like, okay, so 19 years ago, God gave someone that dream because probably he knew where a certain church will have reached in the spirit. Do you understand what I mean? As in, the implications are many, and they are great. Hallelujah. Amen. We are Last Adam Tabernacle. Okay? We are God's house. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Yes, so thank you so much, all of you, especially the worship team. Okay? The worship team is one that is responsible for the presence. Glory be to God. And by the way, I am part of the worship team. All right, for your own information. I am, yes. That's why people are beginning to emulate me, their leader. Okay? Glory be to God. Wonderful shoes. Hallelujah. These shoes, by the way, were bought by my wife. You're not part of the worship team. You support the worship team. Yes. Hallelujah. God is good. This morning I had a dream when I woke up, I thought it was a kind of dream. But then, the more I thought about it, I was like, hey, wait a minute. Probably this dream is not what? Kind of. All right? Now, you're going to help me. I was telling someone, was it yesterday or the other day, that it's been long since we interpreted dreams at the church, and I told them that in our church, in LAT, we always used to say concerning dream interpretation that keep things simple. So this person, all the time they have been at LAT, they had never heard that principle. All right? So I was giving that person dreams, and I was telling him, keep things simple. Don't add scripture, what I tell you, you know. Just keep things what? Simple. Actually, it's Elisha. He's down there right now helping the kids. But maybe I should also tell you the dreams I was sharing with him. Okay? So the dreams I was sharing with him, I didn't plan to talk about them because I have a very important message from heaven. Hallelujah. Yeah, just pray that I don't talk too much kabozi stories from Smack. All right? So that's what I finish I'm supposed to tell you, something good. Okay, now, I was telling Elisha a dream. You remember Honest? Kamikaze? Honest? I was telling Elisha that in 2017, when I began receiving dreams, that my friends had departed from the Lord, Elvis. So in those days, initially, I used to speak in parables. I used to warn you in parables. Okay? Until finally, I threw it out there. So, now in those days, okay, when I was sharing those things, Honest came to me. And she told me a dream. Alright? And she wanted me to interpret the dream. And I was looking at her, I was like, you know, this is so obvious. However, it added a certain detail which shocked me. All right? A detail which shocked me, but I didn't tell her what it meant, but I left that day when I was thinking about it. I was like, now this is serious. Okay? What was the dream? The dream was, she saw, some guy you call Apostle. Okay, but for me, I call him Grace Ulubega. Now this is 2017. Let's say mid, let's say like July 2017. So she said she saw in the dream Grace Ulubega listening to Elvis's summons. Okay, listening to his sermons. And then as he listened, at certain intervals, you know, he would get annoyed at what he was listening at. Okay, and then he would turn and curse Elvis. You know, like you're listening to something, then you curse the person you're listening to. Okay? Then she would see the effect the curse was having on Elvis. You know who dreams? How like you dream you are in LAT now, okay? You dream you're in LAT, and then you can see what's happening in the US. You know that kind of thing. So that was what was happening in the dream. Okay? So Grace Ulubega curses Elvis, then she would see the effect it was having on Elvis. Elvis would begin to limp. You understand? As in, become lame. You know, initially he was walking normally. Then when the curse would come, he would begin to what? To limp. You know, she shared with me that dream in 2017 after I began having what? My dreams, what? That Elvis has gone. All right? Now, what did that dream mean? Okay. I've interrupted you, what? Yes. So, okay. Who wants to volunteer? Or you don't want to be recorded that you're the one who said, yeah? Anyway, volunteers? Okay. I'll tell you, to me, okay, that dream meant that Grace Ulubega was to a large degree, okay, responsible or involved in Elvis's fall. You understand? Someone is walking normally, okay? then he's cast, and then he begins to limp. So that means that the person who has cast is, you understand? Eh? So that meant to me, okay, something which we always used to talk about with Elvis and some people, that there was something wrong with what we grace, you know, eh? And now, honest, she has that dream. And now the involvement or his responsibility in the fall, okay, was supernatural. Do you understand? Like supernatural. Meaning that, man, there were dark forces involved. You've had that dream. Okay. Now, 2 years later, about 2 years later, a lady here in this church is wondering, because she was in Zoe like all of us, okay? She loved Elvis like we all did. So she's wondering, she's like, God, what happened to Elvis? Like, what happened? What caused him to turn away from you? All right? Okay, it was an honest, you know, honest inquiry, you know. So that night, you see, there are some prayers God answered and some he died. Number one, I think, is like, I won't tell you that now, you know. But sometimes he sees someone's honestness. Honestness or honest? Both. And he's like, yeah, now this is a what? A prayer from the heart. Okay? So that night, okay, after one night, God, what happened? Okay? That night she dreamt seeing, it was a very short dream. Okay? And in the dream she saw Grace Lovega strangling Elvis. Are you listening to these things? Honest, 2017. Another lady, 2019. Different people. What does that mean to you? Same thing. I was telling someone that by the time this whole thing is over, okay, hopefully people will learn or will have learned never to judge things by appearances. So what did that dream? Again, it means Grace Vega was supernaturally, spiritually. Okay? Mean, and these are dark forces, somewhere, you know, And of course, for those things to have an effect on you, you must also be in something, you know, you're in disobedience or something. Do you understand? So those are the dreams I was telling this individual and telling him, what do they mean? But remember, our principle in LAT is keep things simple. Before you add scriptures, tell the scripture, say, no, just the dream, okay, alone. Hallelujah. Okay? Which reminds me, by the way, I'm going to share with you a dream I had on Sunday. Okay? I won't forget, brother, this morning. Okay? However, before I share with you that one, I'll share with you another one, which is related to this Grace Ray guy, you know. On Sunday, anniversary, there's a lady who came here. It was her first time. Okay, first time what? Visitor. Yeah. So anyway, she came to me later at the end, and she wanted to share with me some dreams. And so we decided to meet on Monday, and we met on Monday at my office. Okay, the chef. And so while we were there, I've forgotten the details of the dream, but if you want the details, I can get them from her, and I write them and I send them to you without her name in it. But in this dream, basically, she needed help. In the dream, she needed, like, someone was telling us she needs spiritual help. So, in the dream, she goes to I think she went to Grace Rubega, if I remember right. She went to Grace Rubega, like to, you know, to help her with the spiritual help if she has devils to cast them out. All right? So she goes to him. And now, you know, she's talking to Grace Rubega. All right? However, she introduces him, he's like, and there's something like, you are so and so goes to your fellowship. Like she mentioned individuals, some of them I know, and she'll say, you know, they go to your fellowship. However, these individuals don't actually go to Fanero, they actually go to Zoe. Okay? And as she's talking to him, it is Grace Rubega, but it is also Elvis Imbonyi. Do you understand? Even the people she mentioned were actually Zoe, you know, members. So she's talking to Grace Rubega, but at the same time she's talking to, even I guess the appearance of the people, like, you know those things, I don't know what they are called in the English, you know. Either they just happen in the supernatural, rather in dreams and visions. But you're talking to one individual, it's Alan. So you know you're talking to Alan, but you also know you're talking to Hillary. Do you understand? So now when they went for her to be helped, you know, it's a long story. Then they went, then now they were going to perform a ritual. Apparently that's how they cast out with devils, by performing a ritual. Then in the dream, she tells them that no, there's nowhere, it is written nowhere in scripture that's how you cast out with devils, by first doing rituals. Do you understand? So in just one dream, God saved her from two dangerous congregations. Do you understand? Anyway, but in that dream again, you can see God is saying both these guys, are involved in things which are not of him. Are you listening to me? Okay? I don't know why I had to share those three dreams. I just wanted to share with you mine, which I had this morning, which is not related at all to to those things. So that chapter is is closed. You understand? Alright? Hallelujah. Now, this morning, I had a dream. Again, I told you, I thought it was carnal, but when I thought about it, I was like, hey, wait a minute. This thing is not might not be carnal. Okay, so in this dream, we were in school. I and some people were back in school, By the way, there's some stupid principle of dream interpretation I used to hear about years ago, that if you dream when you're back in school, like you're back, you're a kid, it means But, do you know those things, Teddy can do them with those shoes. Back, that is now 1990, you must have been good at those things. When I remember those guys, hallelujah. So, yes, we're back in school, back in school. One of the people who was in the dream, who was in the school, was Mark Kashtahi. There's some of you who know him, Mark Kashtahi, guys I was with in O-Level, one of them was Simon Walumbe. I knew you were going to laugh. There's someone in this, country who goes by that name. I'm telling you, I was with him in 6 years. Okay, but the guy was Anobati. You know Anobati? Someone who bats, as in sharp guy. You know, who bats exactly, you understand, I know bats, Someone who would grass, who would flank, We used to call flanking buying. I don't know why we used to call it that, buying. So someone who would flank was called an obayi. Okay? So for me, I was neither obati, nor what? Obayi. And so, Simon, as anyone from primary school, Buganda Road. Not this Buganda Road of these days, which one? Buganda Road, those days at the sharpest, Buganda Road, KPS, So anyway, there was Simon in the dream, there was another guy, Musazi, Musa, another Obati, alright. And so, we are in school, and now, the students were like investing in a certain something. You know how you put money in an investment club or sorts? Alright, so they are investing, and Mark, he was among them, so we are investing something, money every now, you take it there, and it was accumulating, and it was also, what's the word? Whatever, in interest. What's the word? Accruing interest. Yes. And there was a guy who was a year above us. He was called Mugisha something. Okay? I didn't know him, but then he appeared in the dream. Now, Mugisha was the one who was like in charge of what? Of that investment, whatever. Okay? What was his name? Mugisha, yes. So people, then all of a sudden, at a certain point during either the term or the academic year, some of these bright students start what? Like leaving the school. Okay? I remember Musaz is leaving, Walumbe, leaving, but however they had accumulated what? Dimes, which they had, saved and which was accruing interest, all right? And the dream ended. Okay? The dream what? Ended. I'm sure you're feeling bad that it ended there. You're waiting for, but it ended. Okay, so why do you think it was Kano or anyone has an opinion? There is Walumbe.
Walumbe Zaya.
Walumbe Zaya. Okay. So we know the songs you used to listen to. In your Obati days or buying days. Okay. Walumbe Zaya. You know Kadongo Kam? Charles, do you know Kadongo Kam? Okay. I won't ask my wife. Yes, so what do you think about that dream? Is there anything to it? Anyway, whatever. Now, now let's go to what God wants us to hear today. Okay? Basically what God wants you to hear today. Okay? Let's first read 1 Chronicles 20:5 from NIV, which you all know. On 2nd November 2000, the year 2000, the Lord told me that in future, I was going to build him a house that would be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of what? All the nations. Now, this church, all right, is that house. All right, a church is a house of God. A church, not a building, but a congregation, of God's children, Christians. All right? So that is what we have been trying to do, since 2014 when we began. All right? To build God a house. And not just a house, but a great house. All right? Okay? Now, what the Lord wants you to know is that all of you who have been a part of this, okay, who have been a part of this, those who will be a part of it in the future, God wants you to know he's going to bless you. You understand? Eh? He's going to do what? To bless you. We talk like that's exciting. You know, respond like that is exciting. Okay, God's going to bless you. Okay? And actually, you should see yourself as blessed because of your involvement in this worthy cause. Building God a house. Hallelujah. God wants you to consider yourself blessed because it's going to do you good. Okay? Kind of as a reward. Hallelujah. Now I'm telling you this, and this is what God wants you to hear today. I'm convinced that that's what God wants you to hear today. Okay? So what you should take away from today is simply that you are blessed. Okay, God is going to bless you. You're going to see his blessings. Okay, including financially. Why? Because you've been involved in building his house. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, this temple, the house of God, was built by Solomon. All right? Many years after that, the children of Israel, the children of Israel didn't walk according to God's commandments, okay? They lived in sin, they refused to repent, and for that matter, they were expelled from the land of Israel, okay? And even this temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, all right? So they went in exile, okay? And God told them through Jeremiah, the prophet, that they were going to be in exile for 70 years. All right? Now, when those 70 years elapsed, okay, some of them, not all of them, returned back to Israel from Babylon, from the countries or the regions, the places where they had been taken as captives. So they return. When they return, they decided to rebuild the temple. All right? They began to do what? To rebuild the temple. However, that project didn't go as smooth as they expected. Eh? They experienced somewhat resistance. Eh? Okay? Let's read Ezra. Ezra. I don't think for the last 5 years we have ever read a scripture from Ezra. Okay? Ezra. Ezra chapter 4. Ezra chapter 4, verse 1. Ezra chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. It says, "Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel." Zerubbabel was the leader, like a president of sorts at that time. "So they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' houses and said to them, 'Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the days of who? Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel say to them, "You may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building and hired counselors. Or they bribed officials, okay, against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. All right? Now, verse 24. Eh? So you see they messed them up. Eh? Okay? Verse 24. Are you there? Verse 24. What does it say? It says that thus the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased. And it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Alright? So it ceased for some time, and by therefore, decades. They ceased. Okay? It looks like they just laid the foundation, and then they had to stop. Alright? Now, let's go to Ezra chapter 5. Eh? Okay, so from verse 24 of chapter 4, let's just continue into chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the temple of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping them. Okay? Which prophets? Eh? Yes, but which ones? What are their names? Haggai and Zechariah. Okay, now, there is a Bible, okay, which I bought one time, and I lent it to her and some people, okay, which it is written in a chronological order, eh? Okay, not in the order of how your normal Bibles are like. Okay, so now, in that Bible, when it gets to Ezra chapter 5, now Ezra has, I think, 10 chapters, so when it gets to chapter 5 here, and it has mentioned Zechariah and who? Haggai, they stop there, the Ezra, you know, verses and chapters, and then they add in now Haggai and Zechariah. So like you read the Bible in context. Do you understand? Eh? Because now when you're doing cover to cover, eh, you're going to read Ezra, then after Ezra, Nehemiah, then, you know, in December, you'll get into Revelations, then maybe in August, you'll get into Haggai. Okay? Then you read things and they don't make sense to you. You don't know the context in which they are being said. Okay? If you're interested, I can lend you that Bible. Okay? Though it is in NIV. So this person, you know, he got all the things, and then he began to write, you know, in chronological order. You understand? Eh? That's a tip for you. I lent it to Sam's wife. Okay, then she read it, and then their kids messed it up. Okay, then the wife decided to order for a brand new one. So one day, she appears to me with a brand, and she said, I was like, what's this? She's like, man, I'm sorry, the kids messed up the other one. I was like, no, I mean, kids are kids, you should have just, she's like, no, pastor, you know. So I still have it, it is sealed. Okay, if you're interested, that is, if you're serious, you're going to read it, eh? Okay. And so, Haggai, okay, and Zechariah, they work together with the leaders and the children of Israel. How? By encouraging them. You understand? Eh? Now, let us go to Haggai and read what he said. Okay, so Haggai chapter 1. By the way, I already told you what God wants you to know. Eh? All right? that for your being involved in building him a house, he's going to bless you. Actually, he says, consider yourself blessed. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, the children of Israel, these guys were reading about when they were rebuilding the temple. Remember, they stopped at a certain time. And now, as you're going to see, for that matter, because they stopped, okay, man, things went bad in their lives. And God was like, things are going bad because you have neglected building my house. Now, for us, we haven't neglected building his house. All right? And God is saying, what was happening to these people, okay, is not going to happen to you. You understand? Eh? Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the second year of King Darius. And by the way, that's what Ezra said. Second, you understand? Eh? Okay. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of that guy, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, these people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, eh? Luxurious houses, eh? Okay? And this temple to lie in ruins? You remember they had just stopped like at the foundation, eh? And by the way, for 35 years, it was 35 years, nothing was being done on the house. Okay? Verse 5, it says, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them into a what? A pocket with holes. Those things of sentence, funa na ye, zimpitambwe. I don't know where my what? Money goes. It was happening to guys. And God, anyway, verse 7 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Eh? He said, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Who blew it away? The Lord. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, why every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withhold its fruit. For I called for, who called for a drought? The Lord. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine, for those who drink wine, and the oil on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. You're listening? Verse 12, then Zerubbabel, okay, and Joshua, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you. Glory be to God. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius. So you've seen it, eh? Okay? Man, guys were broke. Things were not happening in their lives. Okay? For one reason alone. They had neglected the house of God. They were not building the house of God. Now, God told me to tell you that this is not what he's saying about you. Why? Because for you or for us, we have been involved in building his house. Okay? And we have all evidence, okay, that God, you know, has been pleased with the work that we have done. All right? Okay? As she has experienced her dream and experience on Sunday, okay, are witness, the evidence, in addition to so many other dreams we have received, that God is pleased with what we are doing concerning his house. Hallelujah. So that's why God is saying, consider yourselves blessed and expect to be blessed. Okay? This that happened to these guys is not for you. It happened to them because they were not building the house of the Lord. Okay? They were living their own lives, having a blast, you know, eh? Okay? Yet the temple of the Lord was in ruins. Glory be to God. Amen? The worship team has been involved. Okay? The service which they give us. Okay? They are part of building the house of the Lord. Now, God wants you to consider yourselves blessed and to expect his blessings for your involvement in building his house. Okay? And that goes to the rest of you. Hallelujah. Consider yourselves blessed and expect to see the blessings of God. Why? Because you are building. You have been involved in building the house of the Lord. It's not complete, okay, but we are at the stage of building that we're supposed to be at. And we are not stopping. We are not what? We are not stopping. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, Haggai chapter 2. By the way, we have read an entire chapter today of the Bible. For your own information. Hallelujah. Haggai chapter 2. Okay? This is after they have resumed work. Haggai chapter 2. Verse 1 says, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you. Bambi, they had begun, okay? And there were some guys who were like 8 years, okay? You remember they went to Babylon for 70 years. All right. So there are some who had seen, okay, Solomon's temple. Oh, okay. So Bambi, then they begin on this Kawan. Eh? Okay. And there are some guys who are like 100 years now. Okay. They had come back 100 and they saw what they had begun. It was nothing compared to Solomon's temple. Actually, it says in Ezra somewhere that when they saw the foundation, they cried. Those old men cried. I guess because in comparison to what they were doing, okay, man, this was nothing. Bambi, they cried, say you guys. As in Twagwa, as in those good old days. As in you never saw, you don't know. Hallelujah. they cried. So, Haggai is saying, you know, as in, this looks like nothing, but God is saying, I am with you. Hallelujah. This sounds like where we are at now. Okay? When you try to see where we are going, where God is taking us, what this church is supposed to be, okay? You look at this and say, man, this is nothing. It's nothing. But we did the math the other year, the other week, okay? If we did the math right, using Asher's dream and 1 Kings 6, it was, okay? We have 6 years to go, okay? To get to the level, okay, where God wants us to be in this nation. 6 years. Okay? But before the sixth year comes, there will be something in the fifth year. You understand? We can't jump from the fifth year. Anyway, you understand? And then in the fourth year, do you understand? Alright? That's how I sit down and then encourage myself. Hallelujah. Okay, we have 6 years. We have already knocked off 1 year from the 7 years. For those of you who are not here that Sunday, okay, God gave me a scripture. I think it is 1 Kings 6, 37, 38. Okay. Anyway, go and listen to that what? Someone. Okay. Yes. So, the old men were like, this is nothing. But Haggai told them, I am with you, says the Lord. He encouraged them. And that's what all these dreams that come every now and again, that's what they come to do, to encourage us. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay? Asher's experience, okay, together with Rachel's mirrors. You understand? Okay? It was one of the things it was meant to achieve was to encourage us. As in, keep building. You're doing well. You're doing good. And that's what Haggai and Zechariah were doing. Hallelujah. You get the point? So, Haggai chapter, so I've read up to verse what? 5. Isn't it? So let's read 6 also. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it's a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Man, that phrase, the desire of all nations. Okay? It reminds me of that song, The Darling of Heaven. The Darling of Heaven crucified. You know, So, I'm going to shake the earth, okay? And I'll cause what? And I'll cause, you know, the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, who I believe is the Lord, Jesus, and I will fill this temple with glory. Glory be to God. When I read that, it spoke to me. Okay? Where are the people who are going to join this year? Okay? In order for God to fulfill his promises concerning this congregation. Okay? One of the things I guess that will happen, God will shake some places. You understand? And cause the nation, the peoples, to come to the desire of all nations. Okay? Because now we have evidence that God dwells with us. We are his temple. You understand? Hallelujah. Okay? He will shake. Alright? For the good of people, not for evil. Hallelujah. So it says, verse 8. What does verse 8 say? It says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give shalom. Hallelujah. The glory of the light of this temple shall be greater than the glory of the former temple. Okay? As in the glory of this temple will be greater than the glory that was in what? Solomon's temple. Hallelujah. Okay? This speaks to me also, and I pray it speaks to you, that the glory, okay, of this temple, this house of God, Eretia, okay, where we're going, it's going to be a greater glory than what we have experienced before. In fact, if you remember Asher's dream, okay, of the 7 days, okay, she says, and she used to tell me that, Pastor, the main thing was the light that was in the building when we completed it. Okay? For me, I used to just emphasize the height, it's called. Okay? And Asha says, but Pastor, you are forgetting the most important. The house, the building was filled with a lot of light. Okay? Which I interpret as the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay? Then it says that in this place, which place? The house, the temple, their building. It says, I will give peace. Okay? Shalom. Okay? Which includes blessings. Glory be to God. Amen? Verse 10. Okay? We continue? Okay? Maybe let's read now. Haggai, let's go to now Haggai chapter 2, verse 15. Okay? Haggai chapter 2, verse 15. Okay? We are going to see God saying that now because you have begun to build, the curse has been reversed. Remember, we began by seeing how man guys were, as in things, you know, they had pockets with holes. And now God is going to tell them that now that you began to rebuild, the curse has been reversed. Now I'm going to bless you. And I told you that's what God wants you to take from this service. Because you have been involved in building, because you're building this God's house, okay, consider yourself blessed and expect to see his blessings. Hallelujah. Amen. Haggai chapter 2, verse 15. Okay? I think it is. It says, verse 15, it says, and now, carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days, when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, they were but 10. You know, you have 10K, but it is worth 5K. Such things, Okay? When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, they were but 20. I struck you with blight and what? Mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands. Who did it? The Lord. Yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the vine? As yet the vine, the fig tree, and that other tree, and the olive tree, have not yielded fruit. But from this day, which day, when the foundation was laid, he says, I will bless you. The reverse, the curse has now been what? Reversed. Why? Because they had resumed work. I tell you, not resuming in just words, bigambo. They had real what? Not resuming in plans. made a plan, hired people. Because when you do a plan and you hire people and what, you haven't yet started. Okay? God is like, aha, now you've laid it, now you have started. And he says, now the curse is what? Reversed. And he says, for that matter, I am going to bless you. Glory be to God. Amen? Now for us, we have been building. We have never stopped. What we're hearing in heaven is that we're doing a great job. All right? So heaven is saying that consider yourselves blessed. All right? And expect to see the blessings of God. Glory be to God. Amen? This is a prosperity gospel. Hallelujah. It is a what? A prosperity gospel. Because the Bible talks about prosperity. You can read what? The whole of the old. God told them, if you obey me, if you do this and do this, I will bless you. You understand? All right? Okay? Last week or the other week, Benny Hinn did not renounce the prosperity gospel. He did not. You understand? Renouncing it is renouncing the Bible. What he renounced was the thuggery, the tactics, the gimmicks, which are evil, which preachers use to get money out of what? People. Okay? So stop sending messages to your friends telling them that Benny Hinn renounced the prosperity gospel. That's a lie. Do you understand? Okay? Hallelujah. You get it. So for years I've hated that thing of someone saying the prosperity gospel is fake, it's not in the Bible. Okay? It's in the Bible. It's very clear. The Jews were told, they knew, first of all, God got them from Egypt to the promised land and told them, I'm taking you to a place flowing with milk and honey. Doesn't that sound like prosperity? You know, he wasn't taking them to a broke land. Do you understand? Okay, so Benny didn't renounce the prosperity gospel. He just says some of these methods people are using, are not right. They are not right. That's what he renounced. Hallelujah. The methods and, of course, their motives. Okay, that's what he renounced. Glory be to God. Okay? He didn't renounce when a preacher tells you to give, it's wrong. Did he say that? He didn't. But now, for some reason, that's how people are reading, what? Oh, that's how they heard him say. But he didn't say that. If he did, he would be going against the scriptures. The scriptures talk about tithing. The scriptures talk about giving. In numerous books and verses. Do you understand? Okay? So, in case you are among them, stop working for the devil. First of all, to lie, against the Lord's servant, Benin, that he renounced. What? Do you understand? Yes. You see, Christians, we always operate on extremes. You understand? Now, you see, there are guys who are operating on this extreme. Preachers took all their money, you understand? Alright? Now when they hear Benny Hinn, catch Benny Hinn, they have been stealing our money. So do you know what has happened or what's going to happen? Guys are going to go at these ends, man. Oh, no more giving. Any preacher who talks about tithes, they're like, You see, this is a problem, I said, churches basically were just open, Christians. Okay? It's marvelous when you find someone who operates in the middle. Okay? Balance. Okay? Now, Mbonye and Ukampani, they have messed up this whole thing of honor. Okay? So honor is of God. Okay? But for motives Mbonye as a person was aware of, to cause people to worship him, because he switched gods. Eh? So his agenda right now is to go with as many people as possible with him. You understand? Eh? So he got scriptures which are in the Bible of honor, okay, and drove them to this side. For motives he knows. He knows I'm causing these guys to worship me. Why? I want them to go with me where I am going. Alright? So, they are operating here. And for Mbonye, he knows what he's doing. It's deliberate. But of course, he's hiding under, yeah. Scripture says, double honor, you know, it's there. Alright? Now, people who realize that is wrong, what Mbonye is doing is wrong, do you know what they did? They are listening to that. No more honor. You understand? Now, if on a certain Sunday I came and I preached what? Honor. People say, "Catch Pastor Tandy, say, you're going off track." You know? There's something called the middle of the road. Do you understand? Okay? People like Juliana, they need to be honored. She's a worship leader. Do you understand? Okay? My wife needs to be honored. She's a pastor's wife. Glory be to God. But not honoring her these ends. Do you understand? Yeah, please. Keep the balance. Because you who is here, you're as good as the guy who is there. Eh? Okay? These guys, Benny was telling us about tithing, and then he said what? He said it's wrong. First of all, he didn't say it. He didn't say that tithing is what? Wrong. But now you just know. Then you want to switch the credit to Chagava. You know, eh? No more giving, what? Because, I mean, if you're a preacher, God is the one who called you. He will take care of you. But how does God take care of people? He uses people. Do you understand? So, bad guy, move it steady. You understand? Operate in the middle of the road. And that applies to anything in life. Alright? Just because a woman, some doctor somewhere messed up Bambi, okay? And the lady died giving birth, okay? It doesn't mean ne bo tuko kuzala togenda mudwaliro. You understand? Call your judge from Kanungu to what? Because how did our grandparents say give birth before the hospitals came? You understand? Alright, that was just a mistake. That doesn't mean that going to hospital to give birth is wrong. If you go to hospital, first of all, it doesn't mean that when you go to hospital to give birth, you're going to die. But that's how people see it. You understand? Eh? For some reason which I can't understand. Okay? And then some other fools will even take it further. They will say, it means if you get pregnant, you will die. I'm telling you, human beings are very interesting. Eh? Now, a doctor Bambi messed up, he did a mistake, and a woman giving birth died. Okay? So, it means, okay? For some people, it means never go to hospital when your time to give birth comes. To some other people, it means never get pregnant. Because you see, she was pregnant and she died. You see, this way, human beings are very, very interesting. Glory be to God. Okay? Like Rick Joyner always says, truth is always in the middle of the road. If you're driving on a road and you go to the other extreme side, you're going to fall into a ditch. You understand? Okay? Then if you see a ditch, and then you're like, you're going to fall in this ditch. What do you do as a good driver? This, you know, here. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Amen? Because, you know, the guy who's there and the guy who's there, you're all the same. Okay? Now, God is telling you, you are going to get blessed. Why? Because you've been involved in building his house. Remember, he told us, okay, that we're to build a house for him. We shall be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all nations. Okay? When we began up until now, there have always been coming commendations from heaven that you're doing a great work. Okay? The most recent was the one we got on Sunday. Okay? If you didn't hear about it, go and read the word of the week that is on the website. Okay? So God is saying, for that matter, what befell these guys is not going to befall you. What befell them or what happened to them after they had started building is going to happen to you. You are going to get blessed. Hallelujah. He told them that from this day, I will bless you. Glory be to God. Amen? Amen? Psalms 35. This famous scripture, which is loved by prosperity preachers. And I'm among them, because prosperity in the word. Psalm 35, verse 27. Okay, it says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Who do what? They favor my righteous cause. They're involved in what I want. Okay? Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. In the prosperity of those who are, you know, doing what he wants them to do. Who are serving him. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of all of us as LAT. Because we are involved in his righteous cause. His righteous cause is what? Building him a house. Okay? And the Lord is telling us, I am interested in your prosperity. I am interested in your well-being. I am interested in your success. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory be to God. Now, okay? Now what brings me back to the dream I had this morning? Do you remember the dream? From what you have heard, do you think there's a relationship? I think there is. I prepared this sermon by Saturday morning at 8 p.m. I knew I was going to preach this. I had prepared it. Okay? So I slept when I'm ready to come and tell you this. Then in the morning or at night, I had this dream. In the dream, we're back in school. Okay? Back in school, I am with old schoolmates, Walumbe, Simon. Okay? Commonly called Simon. Simon. All right. Simon. And Musazi Musa. All right. Very wonderful guy, but he's a Muslim. Okay. Very nice guy. Okay. And Mark Kashtahi. Okay? Now, the Mark Kashtahi bit, his involvement is very important, in my opinion, because now I'm going to give you what I think the dream means. All right? Mark Kashtahi is there. Then we have an investment, what? Like club of sorts, eh? We are putting money in there. It is accruing interest. Eh? All right? It is being managed. Eh? The investment club is being managed, whatever it is, by a guy called Mugisha, you know, eh? Okay, and then at a certain point, some students, you know, kids students, as in the shop, begin to leave the school. Okay, now I believe now, in the context of this message, which I was preparing to share and which I've shared, I think that dream is related. And I believe God was telling me what you're going to preach is exactly it. That I'm going to bless the people for having been involved in what? In having been involved in building my house. All right? Now, so I was with all schoolmates, guys from SMAC, who are not saved. But now God puts Mark Kashtaki, who is not, by the way, in this church. All right? Now, Mark, we used to work with him when we were getting ready to start this church. I think she was even, And when our first service in Bugolobi, Mark actually paid, you know, he came to me at the end of the service and says, you know, here is money. I'm going to pay for this first service, the rent at Royal Suits in Bugolobi. And Mark paid. All right? He did what? He paid. Okay? He was involved in what? Building the house of God. All right? And, so in a sense he was what? He deposited in the investment what? You're beginning to see it. And other students, they deposited, you know, accruing interest. All right? Then at a certain point in time, some students start leaving the school. You're getting it? They begin leaving. Okay? And in fact, in the dream, I was like, man, the sharp guys are all going. What's going to happen to our class, our school? Eh? All right? So they began to... Meanwhile, the club, investment club, is being managed by a guy called Mugisha. I don't remember ever talking to this guy in SMAC. He was a year ahead of me or something, you know. But in the dream, he's there, Mugisha. What does Mugisha mean in the national language, in our national what? Language. National language, what does Mugisha mean?
My name is Nantawa. I don't know.
No, my name is national language. You know, it means something, blessings. Blessings. I said, what is the coincidence that I'm getting ready to share this message? I already have the scriptures before I sleep. Getting ready to tell you that you're going to be blessed. Okay? And this dream comes. Do you understand? All right? You're seeing it? Okay? At a certain point, the students start leaving. Okay? And that happened, by the way. You all know it. It happened. Including Mark. All right? You see, eh? But they had put deposits in the investment club. Okay? So, anyway, what was God showing by that dream? He was like, okay, being involved in this building, a house of God, okay, you're investing. You understand? You're investing. And, of course, when you invest, a time comes when you're going to reap from what? That investment. And meanwhile, they're not just actually sitting there. The 50K is 50K today, but it is just there. Next year, it is going to become 45K, inflation. You understand? But in this one, it was accruing interest. Okay? But the students left. Okay? So when I woke up and I realized the interpretation, I asked God, so God, does that, what happens to the people who left, but then they contributed something? Okay? Do they forfeit their investment, you know? And I didn't get an answer. I think it depends. It depends. If someone walked away when it wasn't the will of God, you understand? Probably it is poteia. Do you understand? Okay, for those who left and it was the will of God, yeah, you know. Anyway, but you see the connection. But then you don't have to agree with me. Okay? After a year, you can take me for lunch and say, Pastor, the such rabbi. Stilava. The guy is one of that thing. After they meet me, say, but Pastor Chilichwa, You know, eh? But I believe this is very obvious, you know? To me, this is obvious. This is a connection. God was trying to tell me what you're going to tell my people. Okay? Tomorrow. It is spot on. So go ahead and tell them. All right? That they are blessed and they should expect to see blessings in their lives. Why? Because they have been involved in what? In building my house. They have been investing. You understand? Investing. And the day comes when they have to what? To reap. Glory be to God. I'll end with what? Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. Okay? Paul said that concerning the gifts the people are giving, says, I do not seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. What was Paul saying was like all the contributions you are doing, okay, for the work of God, all right? It was abounding to your account. Just like the students in my dream, they were investing something on too. They were putting something on an account. They were investing. Eh? It was accumulating, accruing interest. And the day comes when they have to enjoy, the fruits of their investments. So the Lord is saying, he's telling you, expect to be blessed. Okay? He told the children of Israel when they began to build, he says that from this day, I will bless you. No more shall your pockets have holes. Alright? No more shall the heavens withhold rain. Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.